Welcome to the Action Breeds Clarity podcast. As Aristotle said, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. This podcast is for those who want to weave the habit of excellence into every area of life, not by big, grand, radical actions, but by small, consistent actions done with intention. This podcast is for those who are passionate about appreciating the time we have, building a life you feel proud to call yours, and being mindful of your actions, because how you show up really does matter. Hello, action takers. We're diving into episode number 14. This is Radical Patience Part 2. So in the last episode, we talked about how it can be hard to have patience during the middle part of any process, after the excitement and freshness of starting something new wears off, and we're not anywhere near the completion of the process either. It can be tough to keep going, to keep putting in the required work and consistency, and to have faith that you can and will achieve what you set out to do. We also covered a four-part formula for developing a stronger sense of faith throughout the process. If you haven't checked it out, go and find episode number 13 and have a listen. It's beefy, but I think you'll like it and get a lot out of it. Now, in this episode, we're going to talk about four obstacles that can come up in the middle part of the process and some suggestions I have to overcome them. I've said this on the podcast before, but a lot of what I say is just as much for me as it is for anyone listening, because I'm in it. I'm in the process. I'd say I'm in the middle part of a few different processes, and it can get tough. It can get lonely, a lot of self-doubt can pop up, it can suck to stay consistent with your habits and taking action day in and day out when you see other people drop off that said they wanted the same things too, or when people compare themselves to you and it kind of has a negative tone to it, or when you have been working and working and working and you feel tired and the results that you seek and the outcomes that you hope for are nowhere in sight. If you're going through this in any way, in any area of life, you are not alone. I get it. I really, really get it. And that's why I wanted to create this Action Breeds Clarity community and resource. I hope to create a space where anyone who is honestly showing up and putting in the work and being brave and going for what they want and being intentional about the life they want to create can have a place to turn to in those moments when they are feeling overwhelmed with self-doubt, discouragement, maybe there's too many negative voices in your head or toxic people around you in your circle, or you're just facing a lot of setbacks. I hope that Action Breeds Clarity can be like the little angel on your shoulder telling you that you are amazing, that you're awesome, that it's okay to be tired and to take a break and rest, but don't you ever give up on yourself, because I promise you I will reach through these speakers and shake you until you believe in yourself again, because you matter. And I am sure that if you are listening to this podcast and if these topics that I bring up resonate with you, I am sure that there are people walking this earth right now who have more hope, their buckets are filled a little bit more, and they have more happiness because they encountered you on their path and were inspired and moved by how you choose to show up, and you don't even know it. So truly, 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 I hope to encourage you that you really take in that message that you matter and that your actions matter, because I really believe when kind, thoughtful, empathetic, courageous, and determined people show up, the ripple effect is so big, so positive, and so impactful. All right, I will hop off my tiny little soapbox and get into the meat of this episode. So the first obstacle that can come up in the middle part of any process is that taking action and putting in the work is one thing, but what happens when you're taking action, putting in the work, and it seems like nothing is happening? When you're watering the plants, but nothing's blooming. When you're showing up consistently, but it doesn't feel like you're getting any significant results. It's only natural to feel discouraged when this happens, especially in our instant gratification world. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but life is not like one of those transformation Instagram posts of how you can lose 500 pounds in 6 weeks by following these simple steps and eating carrots all day. Great things take time, period. Great relationships, a great career, getting your fitness in line, even the relationships that we have with ourselves, it all takes time. So I want to look at a couple examples of things that take longer than, say, an Uber Eats delivery to accomplish. They say that the recommended time to train for a full marathon is anywhere from 12 to 20 weeks. So if someone takes that seriously and it commits to that, that's a minimum 3-month commitment. What about life? Like actually giving life, actually growing a human and giving birth? That takes around 40 weeks to accomplish. What about losing weight? They say to lose weight in a healthy way, you would aim to lose 1 to 2 pounds a week. That's somebody who's being pretty diligent with their fitness, their eating as well. So if somebody has like 100 pounds to lose, they're looking at around a 50-week commitment. There are 52 weeks in a year. So that's an almost a year commitment. And if you have more to lose, you've got a higher commitment than that. Plus, your fitness is something that you should probably be on top of year round anyway. But let's look at some other examples. The Eiffel Tower in Paris, I looked it up. It took 2 years, 2 months, and 5 days to complete. What about the Statue of Liberty? That took 9 years to build. Or the Taj Mahal, 15 years to accomplish that. So what's the takeaway? Why am I talking about these things? Because I cannot stress this enough. You cannot get Taj Mahal results for your life with a Burger King sense of patience. You just can't. Again, you cannot get Taj Mahal results for your life with a Burger King sense of patience. You just can't. So here are my recommendations for overcoming this obstacle and really acknowledging that great things take time. Number one is to find your bliss activities. I used to listen to those Deepak and Oprah meditation series a long time ago, and I always remember one of them where they talked about how J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, used to say that going to a cafe, sitting down, writing, and immersing herself in the world she was creating felt blissful to her. Those books, there's a lot of them, and each one of them's really, really thick. I can't imagine anyone going through the process of completing even one of those books without really being tuned into the bliss and the joy in the process. So that's why I'm encouraging you to find those activities that put you in that flow state in which you lose track of all time. All of you is fully engaged in that. You're immersed in that activity and fully focused on it, and everything else just floats away. If you don't know what that is for you, go experiment. Go try different things until you figure out what activities feel blissful to you. And if you do have an idea of what is a bliss activity for you, but you don't spend a lot of time there, go spend time there. Rearrange your routine so that you can spend more time doing things that fill your cup. I was reminded of this while prepping for these podcasts. I really, really enjoy these topics. I think they're so important for our lives. I love delving deep into them and figuring out how I can articulate these ideas in clear ways so that I can talk about them to you. It makes me happy and I lose track of time. I feel the same way about powerlifting. It takes all of my mental and physical energy and it turns off my brain, which is amazing to me and blissful to me because I'm prone to overthinking. So go discover your bliss activities, please, because the world needs you so happy that your happiness is just overflowing out to the rest of us. And my second recommendation for overcoming this obstacle is something I mentioned in the last episode, and that is to fill your world with reminders of what and why you are working towards what you want. Whatever your goals are, put it on your mirror. Make a vision board, put it on your calendar, Put pictures of it in your car, on your cell phone, whatever you need to do to have that constantly present in your mind, do it. Make sure you weave your why into every aspect of your daily life and watch how your focus shifts and how what you want feels that much closer, and then see how naturally your thinking and your actions align with the results that you want to create. So that is obstacle number one, great things take time, and my two recommendations, find your bliss activities, and then also fill your world with reminders of what and why you are working towards what you want. So obstacle number two, in the middle part of any process, is that discernment is an art, not a science. That means there's no quick and dirty 1, 2, 3, ABC, 2 + 2 = 4 kind of formula. There's no one size fits all route to discerning, because what is best and right for me will not be what's best and right for the next person. Of course, there may be some established pillars of wisdom that are like universal guideposts for all of us, but each of us has our own internal guidance that speaks its own language and speaks directly to us and moves us towards what's best for us to create a fulfilling and successful life. Why are some people drawn to music while other people are drawn to sports? Because we're different and we need to honor our uniqueness and our individuality. What I have to contribute to the world, to my friendships, to my relationships, to my professional life, etc., will look different and have a different energy than what the next person has to contribute. If I start trying to show up like someone else instead of myself, I become a lesser me. That's why self-examination, honesty, integrity, and discernment are so necessary to become a fully realized human being. It's also super important as you take more and more action in your life, because you want the action that you're taking to be meaningful to you and to your vision of what success and fulfillment is, versus taking action based on someone else's idea of what success and fulfillment are. Your intuition is always there. It's always ready to provide guidance. The catch is that it's up to each of us to learn how to tune in and really listen. Unfortunately, we can't subscribe to like texts from a higher power that show up like, hey, that dude has so many red flags on him, do not go that way. Or, hey, that job is gonna suck the life out of you. I really wish there existed something like that scene in Bruce Almighty where people are emailing their prayers to God and God's writing back, but unfortunately, we're not there, right? It would be super convenient though. Instead, we have to rely on discernment, which requires a high level of personal responsibility to take our lives into our own hands, to tune into ourselves, to be honest to ourselves, to show up for ourselves and go for it. It's up to you and only you to move your life forward. So my recommendations for overcoming this obstacle of discernment is to develop regular discernment practices, like meditation, journaling, or even just spending quality time, maybe being quiet with yourself. If you want, you can check out our free challenge around developing your inner life. I believe it's challenge number 2. Just go to the Action Breeds Clarity site and you can download it for free. But the point is, you need to get to know you. You need to turn up the volume on your own inner voice, so that when it comes time to make decisions, both small and large, your voice carries more weight than all the other voices in your life, because you have got to live for you. You are the longest and most serious relationship you'll ever have. Don't you think it's worth it to invest in making that relationship a really solid and magical one? I do, and I know you're worth it. So I know this work is worth it. The third obstacle for the middle part of any process is regulating our emotions. Oh, emotions. Those pesky little things that a lot of us try to run away from, but you can't. Emotions are like the weather. One day they can be bright and sunny. The next day there could be a freaking tornado warning and sirens ringing, and it's just best to take cover. It's worth it to learn how to navigate the changes in your internal weather and to become what I like to call emotionally articulate to yourself and to others so you can properly express what you are experiencing in your emotional life and what you need to weather your internal storms. Why is this important for the middle part of the process? Because emotions are powerful. If you don't know how to regulate them or navigate them or articulate them or figure out what you need, your emotions have the power to knock you right off track if you're not careful. Like when you're having a bad day and your emotions take control and those emotions are negative, whoo, those are some hard days, right? Those days can threaten to blow up all the progress you've made and everything you've worked for, especially if you don't know how to regulate those emotions. When you do know how to regulate those emotions, you can take care of yourself properly. You can give yourself adequate rest instead of quitting. You treat yourself better, even when you're having hard days or bad days. And you can learn from the root causes of why those emotions are showing up. Because emotions are like signposts on the road through life. They help us understand when we're being disrespected, when we need to place better or firmer boundaries, when somebody's toxic for us. They help us feel out what feels off or wrong. They also help us honor ourselves better, honor our process better, and sometimes they direct us towards what's best and right and good for us, what fills us with joy, and that something, those activities that we need to do more of. I believe learning to be emotionally articulate is a superpower. It requires you to feel what comes up without judgment or dismissing it or repressing it or just numbing it or not dealing with it. It requires you to have a certain level of emotional courage, strength, and depth to be able to feel your feelings. And honestly, that's a lot. Just being honest with yourself about what you're feeling is very powerful for your own self-development and reaching your goals. But unfortunately, most people tune out their emotions with unhealthy habits and they can't understand why they don't have better results in life. Well, if you don't even want to deal with you, why should anyone else, right? Strong emotions can also greatly influence your day. Have you ever had, you know, to get a lot of stuff done and here comes sadness threatening to make trouble? Both of my hands are raised. I've had plenty of days that I am not as productive as I'd like to be because I'm having all of these emotions come up that I have to deal with. The alternative to dealing with them is that they can come out sideways and make really, really bad days versus taking a few minutes to really deal with your emotions or having an already established practice to deal with those emotions so you can deal with them really effectively when they come up. So here are my recommendations for overcoming the obstacle of emotions and not being able to regulate them and having them possibly knock you off your path when you're trying to go after your goals. Number one would be to feel your freaking feelings. Just do it. Just commit to it. Commit today that you are going to stop numbing your emotions, that you are going to embrace them without judgment when they come up. Stop making your emotions the enemy and start practicing curiosity, compassion, and healthy coping when it comes to your emotions. You may have heard this before, but emotions are just energy in motion. They want to move through you. They were never there to set up camp forever. It might sound counterintuitive to some of you, but when you refuse to embrace your emotions and feel them, you are actually hoarding them in your body, which can threaten to come out sideways on you or on someone you care about at a later date, or even cause diseases in your body. So to exercise curiosity with your emotions, just make some time and space to check in with yourself. It can be as simple as turning off distractions for a 10-minute period and asking yourself the following questions. What am I feeling right now? Where do I think this is coming from? What does it feel like to me? Where is it located in my body? Just start there. And that's a way to start feeling your emotions and showing a little bit of curiosity about them. Then you can move to exercising some compassion for yourself and your emotions. You know how little kids can go through like 11 different emotions in the span of 2 minutes? Do you think a little kid is thinking to herself, "Oh my gosh, I'm such a loser because I'm sad that Billy stole my doll"? No, Billy stole her damn doll and she's sad about it and she wants it back and she's gonna cry to the heavens until that doll is returned. And you know what? I bet you she gets that doll back. But when we're adults, it's like we suddenly think we're not supposed to have feelings or that there's something childish about having emotions. When in reality, having emotions is a very natural and completely human process. I would consider myself a very happy person overall, but I experience the full spectrum of emotions. And sometimes you don't even know when something is going to hit you or how it's going to hit you or how deep it's going to hit you. Just yesterday, something really bothered me. It was something small, but it definitely bothered me. And I immediately felt anxiety about it. And to be honest, I didn't even want to deal with it, but I'm committed to dealing with my feelings and not shoving them aside. So I could feel that emotion taking root and getting really under my skin. So because I'm doing 2 workouts a day in that challenge I mentioned before, I think in the last episode, I set up my home treadmill and decided I was going to get moving and allow whatever needed to be released to be released. I ran fast, and a couple of times I had to start walking because I started crying so hard. I was at home, so no one was around, and I could really let it out. I ran for 45 minutes and cried really hard twice. And maybe some of you listening to this think that I'm a loser because of this, but guess what? I'm not carrying that sadness anymore, and there's no threat of it coming out sideways on anyone. I let it out. I let all of my emotions out because letting your emotions out is a fantastic release and it leads directly to new insights and a deeper understanding of yourself and what is causing the issue and what your needs are and what changes you need to make or what boundaries you need to set in order to get your needs met. The truth is, you cannot fix things that you are not willing to look at. So I encourage you to have some compassion for yourself and compassion for your emotions. Your emotions are not the enemy. They're your teachers. Next is coping. It's really important to have healthy coping mechanisms that work for you. Notice I said that work for you. What works for one person might not work for the next person. As I just mentioned, fitness has become a great coping mechanism for me, but it wasn't always that way because I used to be pretty inactive. So I have a couple of coping mechanisms that you could try, but I encourage you to go do your research and experiment and figure out what works best for you. But a couple of them could be exercise. It doesn't have to be anything full on. It could be just taking a walk and getting your body moving. It could be stretching. It could be yoga. It could be boxing. It could be, you know, just jumping up and down. Another one could be journaling. Another one could be meditating. And in both of those, it's not just the normal journaling or meditating, but it could be something where you are giving a voice to the emotion. So it's like, if anxiety is here, what is anxiety saying? If you were to give a microphone to anxiety, what would anxiety have to say? If sadness is here, give the microphone to sadness, what would it have to say? You could try talking to a close friend that you trust. You could try painting or coloring or knitting or cooking or some kind of activity that you feel fully immersed in. You could try speaking to a coach or a therapist. You could try working through a program like a workbook or something. We have some mini programs in our free companion guides at actionbreedsclarity.com. You can go put your email address in there and get access to it for free and right away. And you can also try just sitting in silence and tracing where you feel those emotions coming up in your body. That is also a great practice to get out of your head and get into your body and allow those emotions to like move their way through you. So find what works best for you, but just make sure that you do it, because thinking about it like a nice idea is worthless, sorry, and you are worth being taken care of well. So the last obstacle on the middle part of the process is maintaining a high level of commitment in a world full of flakiness. We tend to think that if things are difficult or even different, then that somehow means that something's wrong. I fall into this trap all the time. But the truth is, difficult or different does not equal right or wrong, nor does easy equal right or wrong. And also, both are irrelevant anyway. Your focus needs to be on the fact that this, whatever it is what I've decided I want for myself, and I am committed to seeing it through, period. If along the way I find that the things I thought I wanted are not quite right for me, I can pivot. But quitting something or never getting started because the actions required seem difficult or are difficult, I'm sorry, but that is a weak move. Maybe the truth is you really didn't want it to begin with, which is totally fine. Just be honest with yourself about it. Or maybe your why isn't strong enough to jolt you out of bed in the morning, which again, totally fine. Then go spend some time, some quality time with yourself and rediscover your why or get a new why. Maybe what's on the other side of achieving this particular thing just isn't compelling enough for you to recognize, reorganize your life in order to move toward what you ultimately want. Again, totally fine, but set a goal, a new goal that's more in alignment with what you ultimately see as success in your life. I'm going to drop some hard truths here, but if you say you want something and you don't step up to go get it, you don't really want it, period. If you say you want something and you flake out on yourself, you don't really want it. Or another fact could just be that you need to spend a little bit more time on beefing up your sense of self, beefing up your self-esteem before you go setting, you know, those external goals. You need to spend more time in your internal world and really clear out some stuff so that you feel happy and content with who you are before you go, you know, goal chasing. And again, I'm sorry, but the truth is, like, I understand that life can get in the way. It does for all of us. And in some of those cases, sometimes you do have to delay certain action on one area in order to focus on another area and getting right there. But that is not at all what I'm addressing here. What I'm talking about is saying things like, I want X, but then my behavior and how I'm spending my time do not reflect that desire whatsoever. Or saying things like, I want X, but I barely put forth any real effort to obtain it and quit very shortly after things get a little bit tough. That's what I'm addressing. Action is the only truth. Words don't hold up. Nice intentions don't hold up. Thinking about something doesn't build anything. And everyone is busy, so that's not an excuse either. What you do and how you choose to show up is what you are truly saying about yourself and your life. So if you're happy with the message, kudos to you. If you're not happy with the message, make the necessary changes to support the life that you want. Get hungry for better, but for goodness sake, put action behind it. I would argue that today, most people are super flaky and non-committal. So by even putting a little bit of effort consistently every day toward what you want, you will begin to set yourself apart from most people. I think it's so sad that a lot of people aren't even willing to show up for themselves. They are waiting, I guess, for other people or external circumstances to change and change things for them in their life. Something like that. I don't know. But I have to tell you that it has always been up to you and you alone to do that for yourself. It's your responsibility to move your life forward in the ways that you want to. So here are some recommendations for overcoming this obstacle of maintaining a high level of commitment in a world full of flakiness and non-committal characters. Number one is to take action, even imperfectly. I have a whole episode on it. Go find it. Go listen to it. Number two, my second recommendation is to tune into yourself more and tune out of the outside world. I make a habit to tune into myself on a deep level and constantly ask myself what experiences I need to feel fulfilled now and overall in my life so that when my time on earth is over, I can be content with how I showed up and how I spent my time. I carry that question and my answers and my values with me every single day, and I encourage you to do the same. Again, we have some free guides on the website that you can check out that go into asking yourself some of these deeper questions. And lastly, my third recommendation would be to start spending time learning yourself so you can hack yourself. We all have our own internal programming system. It's there, but you need to spend time learning it. You can do this by working with someone like a coach or a therapist, and you can also do this by journaling, spending time asking yourself those deep questions, and figuring out what your answers are, learning what your values are. Once you are well-versed in the subject of you, you will have built a higher level of awareness, which means you are no longer fully on autopilot, and you can now take things to the next level, which is spending time designing your vision for your life and your vision for the person you want to become. Then you can work backwards from there, dividing your life into whatever goals or achievements that you want, and then you can further dissect it into daily habits that support you moving towards those goals and accomplishments, because what you do daily and consistency is what creates the momentum. Nobody goes from 0 to 100. I love those pictures online of like Elon Musk standing next to a very old computer. His hairline is receding and he kind of looks nerdy, and it says PayPal on the computer. And then the next picture is him looking, you know, way fitter. He has a lot more hair. He's gone through a complete glow up, and, you know, obviously he's doing SpaceX and Tesla and all those things. Or the picture of Jeff Bezos in a very unorganized office where with like a homemade Amazon.com banner on the wall, and again an older computer, and then the next picture is him, you know, looking buff, and he's gone through his whole glow up transformation. And of course we all know the story of Amazon and how successful that is. Everyone has to start somewhere. But you start small, you start imperfect. I mean, imperfection's gonna be along for the ride the whole way through, but you start small. And like I mentioned in the last episode, there is a compound effect to consistent action. It might sound hard at first, but it's really not. It's kind of like lifting weights at the gym. You work really hard to be able to lift at a certain level, and then suddenly what used to feel hard is now normal and even easy for you. And if you stay there though, you become stagnant. So you start to increase your weights and you start to build on the strength that you already have, and you start to take your strength to the next level. It's the same with every area of life. You start where you are, you take imperfect action, you get your first layer of results, you celebrate, and you keep going. And slowly but surely, bit by bit, you build something extraordinary in every area of your life. You hack yourself by knowing yourself so well and so intimately that you know what works for you and what doesn't work for you. You get a lot more selective in how you spend your time and where you place your energy. You just have to be open to upgrading your identity to fit the future you want to create. You can do this by reading new books, listening to podcasts like the one you're listening to now, having different conversations with different kinds of people, taking the time to do the work of investing in yourself and in your life. Believe me, when you get to be 90 years old or just however old and you're looking back, don't you think you will be so appreciative of your former self and all the previous versions of yourself for working hard and committing to this work versus not doing anything or doing something, you know, once in a blue moon, and then you all of a sudden all this time has passed and you're like, crap, you're asking yourself the same questions that you've been asking yourself for years. You're wondering how you can do the same goals you've been, you know, wanting to do for years, and you haven't ever taken action. I don't know about you, but for me, that is literally my biggest fear, and it's a big regret that I do not want to have. That in itself is one of my whys and one of the things that jolts me out of bed and keeps me motivated to keep showing up to my life, because I don't want to get old and, you know, wake up one day and be like, what the heck? What did I do with my life? Where did all of this time go? Because guys, time is passing us by. It does not stop for any of us, no matter what. And it can be a very brutal thing, I think, to wake up, be old, and be scared to die because you forgot to live. So again, you don't have to have that be your life. Through small, consistent actions, there's going to be a snowball effect, and you are going to create something extraordinary and meaningful for you. But you have to be intentional now and take small actions. You don't have to build Rome in a day, you know? Start with one brick, then the next day, take another brick, and the next day, take another brick. So let's do a rapid fire recap of all the things that I covered today. Obstacle number one was that it takes time to create great things. So my recommendation is find your bliss activities and fill your world with reminders of why your goals are important and meaningful to you. Obstacle number two was that discernment is an art, not a science. So develop regular practices that help you turn up the volume on your inner voice and turn down the volume on all those pesky voices from the outside world. Obstacle number three was regulating your emotions. So start practicing curiosity, compassion, and healthy coping mechanisms when it comes to dealing with your emotions. Don't sweep them under the rug. Don't let them derail you from your path either. And finally, obstacle number four was maintaining a high level of commitment in a world full of flakiness. So my recommendation is to take imperfect action, ask yourself deep questions, and discover what your values are and what's most important to you, and spend time learning who you are and what makes you tick so you can hack yourself and take yourself off of autopilot and start designing your life and your actions to support the results that you want. We did it. We made it to the end. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you in the next episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe so you can be notified when a new episode is posted. Like and review this podcast and share it with your friends so they can follow along too as we all take action together each month. Plus, that's added accountability for you. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you choose to invest in yourself, take action even if you don't feel ready, and build a life you're proud to have through consistent and intentional action. Because how you show up really matters. Lastly, make sure you visit actionbreedsclarity.com to get your free resources. I'll see you in the next episode.